Series on the topic of prayer, and last Sunday we spent some time talking about Nehemiah and the way that he prayed and his approach and his desire that he had to not only know that God is going to call on him in a moment of need when it's time to pray, but laying down a foundation and an atmosphere of prayer. I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, it is our makeup to communicate with God. And so today, the title of our message is called just that, Walk with God. And I hope that this morning you'll just have an opportunity to write some of these scriptures down. We're going to be covering quite a few of them. And I'm hoping that we can, there we go. We had some work done on our audiovisual stuff. And so far this morning, no issues. Thank you, Lord. But we have been just looking to see what it means to have not just, God, there's a need that I have in a moment where I need you to come through. But instead, I want to be in relationship with you. And this concept of having this relationship comes from this phrase, walk with God. And if I could just give a little bit of a background on it real briefly, and if you have your Bibles with you and you're going to be scrolling through some scriptures with us this morning, one of the main places that this is understood and actually kind of dissected thoroughly in a relationship with the Lord is the Garden of Eden. In the book of Genesis, it is clear that God and Adam and then Eve communicated on a level that we have no true understanding of. God literally walked with Adam in the garden. There was a communion, there was a level of unity between God and Adam that we cannot even begin to understand. And the first time that we really hear about this, an idea of this phrase, because this phrase is not so much found in the book of Genesis, in the garden, but once Adam and Eve had sinned and eaten of the fruit of the tree that they weren't supposed to, we come to a section of the creation story where God, we see God doing this. It says, and God was walking in the garden. God was walking in the garden. Now, what did that look like? We can't even begin to understand exactly what that looked like. But many commentaries and many spiritual Christian philosophers have kind of talked about this idea of that God was walking with Adam in that perfect state that Adam was in. Adam was sinless. Adam was created in God's image, and God was in full communion with him all the time. And so then when they sin, that's the time that we see this happening. And when they take a bite of that, they realize that they're naked and they go and they hide when they hear God walking in the garden. Do you see what's going on? Is there is this amazing relationship that was intended for mankind. We were intended to have that type of relationship with our Creator. Do you understand that the garden was what the intention was? That was the type of relationship we were to be in. And so we see that, but then later on in Scripture, we find out when we're going through some of these things, later on in Genesis, we see this phrase, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Very interesting. Enoch had this amazing relationship outside of the garden. He wasn't perfect. Enoch was not sinless. Enoch was someone who was living after this all of this had taken place. And yet, watch this. Enoch walked with God. Now, this is prior to death, burial, resurrection, salvation. This is prior to any kind of revelation. There'd only been the declaration in the garden of that someday that God was going to send a Savior to the earth to bring us all back together. But Enoch had no knowledge of what was to come, but he had this amazing relationship where this phrase comes about. Here it is again when we read about Noah. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. And there's the phrase again. Noah walked with God. That is, when I see something like that, can I just say that my curiosity gets spiked a little bit? Because this is a unique thing. It's so unique that we never really see it like this ever again in Scripture. Noah is the last one, not Moses, not any of the prophets. That phrase is never used again before someone's name. Noah is the last one. And it says this, he was blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And so as I was looking at that, I said, God, what kind of relationship did these people have? What was the level of what was going on? And then I began to do a little bit of a look behind this pattern, and I found some things that we're just going to kind of briefly go through. If you see on the back of your bulletin, if you want to write down some of these scriptures and spend some time looking at them as I have done, maybe you can just allow the Lord to speak into you some things that I'm not even going to be able to scratch on this morning. But I just want to be able to spur you on to this idea and this concept of what it means to have this level of relationship. And in Deuteronomy, it says this, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33, I want you to see how this phrase is kind of reworked now. It says, you shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. So now it goes from this concept of Enoch walking with God, Noah walking with God. And now what we see in Scripture is we see a desire that God has for us to walk with Him. There's almost a complete shift. It goes from these men did walk with God, and now God, watch this, it's just like your best friend moved out of your neighborhood. Your best friend moved out of your neighborhood. Gone. You don't have anybody to talk with, anybody to be with, no one to fellowship with. And there's certain people in the Old Testament that had very special relationships with God. But from what we can tell, there was only three in history that had this type of relationship. Adam, Enoch, and Noah. A very special walking with God relationship. And then when God begins to go through the laws and begins to lay out for them, Deuteronomy is where we're kind of getting the filtration of, here's how you can be in relationship with me. God puts it this way, you shall walk in all the way the Lord your God has commanded you. And there's blessings that come from that. Watch it again in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. There is a desire that God has, watch this, for people to come back into that relationship with him where we are literally walking with the Lord our God. And when we discuss this concept and idea of prayer, it's not this legalistic thing where we have to figure out what's the right things that I need to say, what's the proper language that I need to use. It's a communication with God. It's saying, God, I want to speak to you, and watch this, it's a conversation. So therefore, God, I want to hear from you as well. When you're walking along and you're talking, some of the most amazing conversations I've ever had with people is while we're walking. My wife and I, when we first met, we used to walk around an area of Elam Bible Institute that was called the Fish Bowl. And we would wander around this thing, and what it was is it was a path that went all the way around the campus, and the reason they called it the fishbowl is because you were never out of anybody's sight. They could see you no matter where you were. And there would be times that Alexa and I, the study time would be over, or we'd have some free time, and I'd call her up and I'd say, hey, let's go for a walk. And we'd walk around that fishbowl. We'd walk around there sometimes for an hour, and she would just listen to me talk. I didn't get to know much about her because at that point I was just a chatterbox. I don't talk nearly as much as I used to, so you guys are lucky. But those conversations that we had, they were how we got to know each other, how Alexa got to know who I was and what my heart was and what I wanted and my expectations and my life and all these kind of things. They come through, watch this, we're walking. When you walk around the neighborhood, when you're on vacation and you go for a walk somewhere. I love going for walks in new places. We went and visited a friend this past summer, and I got to walk in new places, and it was just really beautiful to be able to say, okay, God, I'm going to walk. I'm going to have this time of conversation with you. And when you do that, this idea of the journey is when we get closer to the people who are around us, when we spend specific time with them. Now when we go for walks, it is a little bit more, we're talking together. I don't do so much of the talking, we talk together. But that's the concept that I hear this. That's how this filters down into who I am, is that God is literally looking for a people that he can walk with. When you get to an idea and to a place to where you are literally walking with your God, God, I am now on a journey with you. I'm going to hear you. I want to hear your heart. It's a different concept altogether than when somebody says you need to pray. You need to set 15, 20 minutes aside a day. If you're not doing that, you're not in the will of God, and you're a shameful Christian. All that. Really what you need to be able to do is say, God, I want to have time with you. Can you imagine no appointment at all, nothing else going on, Adam just having time with God? That is powerful. And that is a type of communication that this side of the fall and even the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that very few people have been able to tap into, to have this kind of relationship. But we can see literally that is the desire that God has. It's expressed to us again in Joshua chapter 22. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to what? Walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cling to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Can you hear the desire that's behind that? It's that not only walking with him, and now you're clinging to him. One of the things when we were in our dating relationship, we were on campus, you weren't really allowed to like walk around and hold hands. But when it was cold out, and it had just snowed, or there was ice on the fishbowl, I was allowed to do something to make sure that she didn't fall. It's icy and cold out, Alexa. Let's go for a walk. Right? I mean, we were allowed to do this. Because we couldn't just walk around the fishbowl like that. No, that's not allowed. My hands are cold. But for some reason, we were allowed to do this. Praise the Lord. But that's what it is that it's clinging. Do you see that phrase in there? Clinging to the Lord. And so I would see that and I would say, God, what you're really looking for us to do then is to change this whole approach. It's not only just going on a journey. Now what I need to do is I need to be able to cling to the Lord God. Because only in that type of an embrace am I able to actually find what? Security. I'm going to find security as I cling to him. And that's what the heart behind this is it's not just simply this idea of now going on a journey. Now we're in a completely different type of conversation. Would you agree? I didn't call too many other girls and ask them to go on a walk on an icy night. I got a hold. And I was able to walk with Alexa in that moment. I want you to see something, that this is what God is looking for. He's saying to observe the commandment. And that was the parallel that I was drawing. That's, like I said, this idea is that even in those moments, last week when we looked at when it's time to pray, that's when we often do, when there's a moment that's coming up. Watch this. If I am clinging to the Lord, I always am at a place where I can hear his heart and understand where he is going and understand what he is doing. And in that type of situation, there is someone who has taken the lead also. When we're clinging to those things, there's someone who is leading and guiding that journey. Sometimes Alexa would say, okay, we're done, we need to go in. I'm going, oh, one more lap around the fishbowl. Let's go one more time, right? Is that there's this thing where it's like, let's continue this type of fellowship. Let's continue this journey together. And God is saying, walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all of your heart. I want you to see this idea of prayer can turn into this religious thing where it's like, okay, our church is on this journey now together. We're going to be looking at how we can pray. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If this is going to become a religious journey for you, we need to kind of reboot the whole thing and start over again, because it's not about that. It's about the conversation. It's about the time. It's about, this is intentional. I want to spend time with you. I desire this relationship. And there's a number of times, and I didn't go through every single one of them. I promise you, there's a number of them, though. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 23. And it says this, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven, above, or on earth, beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. There's this, when there's a time when someone in the Old Testament was looking to make an intimate declaration to God, it included this phrase, walk, to walk. Walk with us. There was something to do with this. And it was the moment when the one who was praying, or the one who was praying on behalf of the people, which is what is this situation, there was a prayer that was going out on behalf of the people. It was this idea of, we are in covenant with you. Why? Because we walk before you with all of our heart. There's this relationship that God is looking for. This heart of, God, I want to be on this journey. I want to take this journey with you. Last week, we looked in the book of Nehemiah and compared a couple of his prayers. One was a short one that he said under his breath, and it was based upon the longer one that was in Nehemiah chapter 1. But look at this in Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 29. It says here in the middle of this statement, join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord. This is something that is interesting, because that's the place that we find Nehemiah in, is that he's looking for a people and he's wanting to be an example for others that they're walking in this journey. They're serving and striving together to find this way. How can we walk? And if I could encourage you in any way this morning, if we could just take a pause for a moment and say, what does it mean then for me to walk with someone that I cannot see? And maybe sometimes in your life, you cannot feel, you're feeling like, I'm not really interacting properly, or I don't understand how to take this first step. So I don't want to say, do these three things and you'll be walking with God. Because that's not exactly how this works. It's all about a heart issue. I can't say, here's the seven steps to walking with God. I've actually come across things like that. Here's the eight ways. Here's the five ways. Here's the three ways. You know, here's this what you can do. And maybe for some that these things have worked. But here's one of the things that I have seen consistently throughout Scripture. Is that the people who are on this level of relationship with him have a type of conversation that is more than, I'm going to dedicate these next 20 minutes to you. I'm going to get up early enough to have quiet time with you and spend time with you. That's the beginning. That's the place where it starts. But would you agree with me that Adam didn't set his alarm in the garden to get up and have quiet time with God. Can we just make that assumption? That probably wasn't happening. Adam probably didn't have to do that. There was a continual conversation that was coming and going. We say, well, that was the garden. Okay. What about Enoch? Enoch didn't even have the law of Moses. Enoch didn't have any of those. Enoch had relationship with God, and what he was and what he was basing it off of is what was actually passed down from him from one generation to the next, and not all that far, if you look at the timelines and how long people were living. Not all that far. Enoch was someone who said, I want to have Adam's type of relationship with my Creator. I want to have that. And God granted that to him. God gave that to him. And Enoch walked with God. And then another section says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. Some translations say, and he was not found. That gives us the understanding that Enoch was here having some quiet time or being with God or observing that whole thing, and whoosh, he was gone. By Enoch. We don't know where he went. But he was in such relationship with God that that phrase was reserved for him. Enoch walked with God. So the first thing, if I were to say, let's start somewhere, is we need to be able to say, what is my posture? What is the position that I'm in when I'm talking with God? And I don't mean physically. I just mean like spiritually. What is my anticipation? Am I saying, okay, God, you know, I don't know if you're up there. I don't know who you are. I don't know. We're just going to get started. That's fine too. We can start somewhere. Can everybody agree that it's important to start somewhere? But now we need to say, God, I want to be in relationship with you. I fully believe with all my heart that someone who desires to be in the presence of God, God will meet them there. I fully believe that. And that relationship becomes now a walk. Now that relationship becomes, I'm clinging to him. Why? Because I have desired to walk with the Lord. I want you to see something that kind of shifted as we went through some of these scriptures. One was Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Then the next time we see that, God is saying, follow my commandments so that I may walk with you. It's this, I want you to see this. God desires. It's one thing for us to say, you know, God, I really desire to be in this. And then when we desire something, sometimes that means there's a lot of work that has to come on my end because I desire it. Do you understand that train of thought that I'm on? I'm after this thing. I want to see it happen. I've got to do all the work for it. But I want you to see something. God doesn't just meet us in the middle. I want you to understand that this is God's desire already. And so if I say that I desire something that God already desires, I don't even really have to work hard for it. I just have to desire. I just have to position myself and be consistent with what I have said to God that I want to do. And then I find out God's already 90% of the way there. He's the one looking for me. He's the one out for me. He's the one who's saying, I want to be in relationship with you. And by the time that happens, he's like, here I am. Here I am. Relationships are like that in general. There could be somebody that you really want to be connected with. You really want to have a relationship and be connected with somebody. And so you feel like you're doing all the stuff and everything and nothing's happening and nothing's happening. And then one day they look at you and they say, hey, I would really like to be your friend. You're like, I'm ready. Here I am, right? I mean, it just takes that recognition. It just takes that moment. And that's how I see God, is God has already done everything. He's already said, I desire to be in relationship with you. All he's looking is for a people that want to be in relationship with him. That's it. And we say, God, I want to be in relationship with you. Well, that was easy. That was where it was. And that's who God is to us. Because that's the language that has changed. You can see it. It says, walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. Do you see that? And then again it says, but fear the Lord your God to walk in all his ways. Do you see it? He's already made a way. He's already made a path for us that says, the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways. It's all already there. And then again, it says in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23, but this command I gave them, obey my voice and I will be your God. You shall be my people and walk in all the way that I commanded you that it may be well with you. You see, God has done all we have to do. If we desire to be in relationship with him, he's already made this beautiful path to relationship with him. Oh, you know, the 7 steps, the 14 steps, the 10 steps. God has made it possible. God has made it possible. So all that is required of me to begin this journey is to take the first step. Now, is that the end of my participation? No, it's probably, you know, that's where we need to cling to God, because you can see what's happening here is he's saying you need to follow in all of my ways and follow all the things that I've commanded. How many of you know that you need God's help to do that? Amen? We need to be in relationship with God in order to make that happen. But the first thing, the first recognition that I need to do is say, God, I desire what you desire. I want to be in relationship with you. And that declaration alone begins to set this beautiful journey aside for us. In Micah chapter 6, it says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. He desires what was going on in the garden. He desires what was happening with Enoch. He desires what was going on with Noah. That is what God looks for. And I love the phrase, then what does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the path. This is the way, is to say, God, I now want to walk in all that you have for me. I have not done my part. I have not followed through. I have not sought you in the way that I only come to you in the moment when it's time to pray. Oh, Lord, I can't believe I'm in this situation. I need your help. And God is saying, I want to have an ongoing relationship with you so that we can cling together. And then as I'm clinging to you, we can see the danger coming, and I'll take the lead and I'll move you from that situation. And I'll take the lead and I'll move you from that situation. That God is looking for a people who would be willing to get into that type of relationship, to cling to the Lord. And not say, wait, oh, this situation came up. God, it's almost like you're asking a favor. God, I could really use a favor right now. And that's not the kind of relationship that any of us would want to be in with another person. You want to be in a relationship where you're always doing favors? But sometimes we get into that rut with God, where that rut becomes that kind of relationship with him, is that we're saying, God, oh, I really need you to come through in this situation. And instead, what is he doing? He's looking for us to be walking, clinging to him. Let me give you an example in the New Testament to close this time out together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Can you say that phrase with me real quick? For we are the temple of the living God. So let's just understand that that's the approach that God has with us. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is desiring now. Now we're on the other. Now this is in 2 Corinthians. This is death, burial, resurrection. Now waiting for the return of our Savior. How many of you can see that God desires to not only dwell within you, now what he wants to do is dwelling within us. He wants to walk with us through our lives. That's a completely different concept altogether. Is that we are the temple of God. God created us and desires to dwell within us, to have a relationship with us. But watch what it says. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. Oh, Father, let that be true in our lives today. Let that be exactly where we are in our journey with you, that we would desire to have that type of relationship. That's what communion with God is. I'm not talking about the sacrament of communion. I'm talking about unity and spiritual conversation. That's what that community looks like. That's what that unity looks like. Is God, now I am in relationship with you. You're walking with me. Because I am the temple of God. What a tremendous complete circle we've just gone in to where Adam was. I would see that Adam was very potentially in that type of relationship, although we can't know for sure. But it seems to me that God was dwelling in, around, just every facet of what was going on. It was almost like full senses, completely aware. I believe that Adam knew if God, the presence of God somehow was anywhere around him, Adam knew instantly. Now watch this. This side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's not that we're looking, where is God? Where is the presence of God? The Bible tells us that God dwells within us as believers in Jesus Christ. He dwells within us. That is a very deep relationship with him. And that's what brings us to a place of how can we get into that type of relationship of walking with God. What does it come from? It comes from this. God, I want what you want. I want the relationship that you already desired to have with us. I want that. And the reason that I can say that to you is because we have seen after the fall, it was possible. After the commandments were given, it was possible. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's possible. God desires to dwell within his people. And one of the best ways to begin that journey is communion, communication, and community with God the Father. Praying and receiving Jesus Christ into our lives. Over the next number of weeks, we're going to be spending some time Sunday morning and Wednesday evening in our midweek service talking about things just like this. On Wednesday, we talked through another prayer that was in Psalms chapter 3. And while we were there, we spent some time saying, okay, here is a specific prayer that was going out. And we kind of laid it out before, it was a prayer of David. And we said, here's the situation that he found himself in. We prayed through it together. Then we concluded and prayed. And I believe that God is bringing an attention and an awareness to what that community takes. So much so that I'm going to be getting together with some of the other leaders in this community and asking them to go on a prayer journey with us. And joining with us for an effort to see God do some incredible things. The other day I mentioned to you that I was a friend of mine from Elam Fellowship had written a book that was on a prayer initiative, and I asked him, I said, give me a little bit of detail about this. This was last spring. Let me see where the Lord would take it. I had a meeting with a couple of the pastors shortly after that here in town, and then there's some people within our own congregation that have been looking to pray and to spend time specifically praying in community within our own community as well. And so we've been seeing this desire happen. So I called up my friend and I said, I understand your book is not only did you write the book so that people could do this thing, but you've made it possible for that book to be specific to a community. He was like, yeah, we have this thing where you can make the cover, your town. and we'll print it all out for you. That way, when your group is getting together, it's not as generic. It's like specifically for them. And so the other day, we had a proof sent to us, and we had this cover is being made, and we've ordered 100 of these books to pass out within our community to go on this journey together. It's very specific. It's a very powerful time of being able to say, God, this is what we are going to do. We are going to intentionally get together and pray for this community. And we're going to go through this book together, not only in this congregation on Wednesday nights, but we're going to be giving 6 to 10 copies of this book to other congregations within this community, so that we can all kind of be going in a general direction. And then once we've gone through the book, those different groups, we're all going to get together and pray in our community and ask for the Lord to move mightily on behalf of His people and His promise and His word that He's promised within us. This book is 2 weeks away from being on our doorstep, and we're going to begin to get this circulated in our community. It's something that has just become a great desire of mine to be able to see God move in this way. And I know that there's other ministries. There's the First Baptist Church, Pastor Brian Borger, has been getting together with leaders on Tuesday mornings for the last, I think it's been like 5 or 6 years. I might even be shy on the numbers then. He may have been doing it for even close to a decade. I can't remember how long ago he started it. But Brian has opened up his church, and people come in on Tuesday mornings, and they get together and they pray. And so I know there's a prayer initiative. But one of the things that I've desired to see is to take it to the next place. I wonder if you could stand with me this morning. That as we're going through this, the desire is for all of us to say, God, I want to increase my awareness of walking with you. I want to be in that journey with you. And so this morning, without necessarily making a covenant or a promise that would then set you up for failure, here's what I would ask you to do. God, I want what you want. I would ask you to say that into your spirit, to speak that into being, to say, God, I desire what you desire. I desire the relationship that you desire with me. God is after you. God is seeking you. God wants to be with you. So, Father, we come before you right now. And we declare this together. We want what you want in our lives, in our relationship, in our journey. God, we pray right now in Jesus' name for forgiveness, for not seeking after you the way that you have commanded us to, for not following through on some things that we have said that we wanted to do. And so, Father, now we pray that the enemy would not be able to come in and steal from this opportunity, to rob us from this chance of being able to say, God, we want to be a people who are after your name, who desire what you desire. Today, Father God, we come before you, submitting ourselves to you, and asking for your spirit to move. I'm going to ask something very generic right now. If you want what God wants, just right out in front of you, could you place your hands out in front of you like you're receiving a gift, like you're receiving something from us. Just hold your hand, palms, just say, God, I receive it from you. Just this physical act of just putting your hands out in front and saying, God, I want to receive this thing, because he has a desire, ladies and gentlemen. So, Father, right now, we just assume the posture of one who is ready to receive. God, we want what you want. We desire what you desire. We ask for our hearts to be knit together so that we can cling to you and walk humbly with our God. We just receive that now. We receive it, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Father, we pray that you would seal this time powerfully within our lives. We thank you for all that you're doing among us now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord together?